Bibles right now, if you will, and open to the book of John. The book of John. And over the next few weeks, I'll begin to go back into the end times. What's it look like for Matthew 25? We'll talk about the rapture. We'll talk about the second coming of Jesus. What are the signs that Jesus gives us? We'll be talking about all of those, and I'll be interjecting different things as we go through, because we are in the last days, and it's important for us to get there and talk about some of those things. Now, John chapter 4 in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, here's a couple pictures that relates to what we're going to teach today. Take a look here. Here's a picture of a man trying to quench his physical thirst. He's in a really, really dry place. Here's the second one. A picture of being thirsty. She's trying to quench her thirst. So the focus today is Jesus offers the gift of living water to a Samaritan woman. Now, when you see that, here's a truth that some people don't know. Very simple, says this. God created every human being, everyone, with two thirsts. A physical thirst for water. A spiritual thirst for God. And remember, God created us with an empty part in our spirit. If I don't have a relationship with Christ, I will never feel fulfilled. I'll never understand why I don't have purpose. God did that for a reason. And the thirst that we have, it has to be a spiritual thirst. And you'll see as we go through, water, beer, alcohol, any kind of drink that you want to take. You're sick and you need some things, you know, just a Gatorade, whatever. That will help you physically. It will not touch anything spiritual in your life. So we're going to learn that. Now, remember last weekend, we learned about the mission. Jesus walked into a town, and Zacchaeus, a little short guy, my favorite book in the Bible, and he went in, and basically, he came out with verse 19. You know it, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. In other words, we go to the people. Jesus went to Zacchaeus, who was cheating people of finances. So we don't wait for people to come. Now, we invite people to church, and many of you guys online have done that, of course, here as well. We had to continue to do that. But may understand what we're talking about here. We seek. We look. We look for opportunities to invite people. Now, second thing is this. Lost people are thirsty. They don't have a relationship with Jesus, but they don't know how to solve the thirst. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking spiritual. They know something isn't fulfilled. I'm hopeless. I don't have any purpose in life. What in the world is that? Well, here's how we're going to see it solved today. John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, that the Son, Jesus, can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, Jesus the Son also does. Now that relates to our series that we started in January. It's for the whole year, really. Remember our series title, you see it right here. God says, let's go forward together. And what will happen is we will change our world. We just can't sit. We talked to you a couple weeks ago. We can't just drift around and do nothing. And I'll talk in a few weeks about Jesus says, occupy till I come. Well, occupy doesn't mean this. I'm occupying my seat. Thank you very much. No, it's going forward. And we'll see what that looks like as we get there. Now, every day, Jesus listened and obeyed what God wanted him to do. He fits the exact title. God says, let's go together. So God is saying to his son, Jesus, look, you're on the earth. I'm God. Let's do these things together. I'm going to direct you. And Jesus wouldn't do anything unless God directed him. Now, here's an issue. Are we listening and obeying what God wants us to do? when he speaks to us. Are we listening and obeying, or are we going to try to do our own thing? If we do, that drifting part of our life comes in, and we're not going forward. We're actually going backwards. And I just want to challenge you, watch Jesus today. He's an incredible role model for us as we go through this. Now, put yourself in the place where he's at. Look at John 4, verses 1 through 3. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist, although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, when Jesus learned of this, he left Judea and he went back north to Galilee, where way up north in Israel, and where the Great Lake was. Now, this next verse, if you have it in your Bible and you'd like to write it in your Bible, there's two words you want to look at and circle it. John 4:4. Now, he had to go. He had to go through Samaria. God said to him, this is not an option. You have to go. When you go up to the Sea of Galilee, when you're going to go north, you have to go through Samaria. Now, life is a journey following God, and you're going to see in this time, Jesus is going to take a lot of steps. That's what life is about. The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So today we're going to see that Jesus takes many steps to do one thing, to obey God. Now, here's the map. Take a look at this. Get yourself ready. Let me just say a few things to you in a moment. Here's Jerusalem. That's where Jesus is. And God has told him he needs to go way up there. You can see the Sea of Galilee right up there. That's in that area that he wants to go. Now, you see three colors. There's three ways to get, in those days, three ways to get from Jerusalem up to the north to the Sea of Galilee. Now, when you see that happening, basically, God says you have to go through Samaria. Now, the Samaritans were half-breeds. They were part Jews, and they were part Gentiles. And as such, they were considered outcasts by the Jews. They were just actually despised by the Jews. They had their own religious system in Samaria, and it was weird. It was totally different in many areas than the Bible taught. And let me just say this to you up front. They went by the Bible, but only the first five books in the Old Testament. They didn't believe in anything else. Now, they knew there was a Messiah coming, but they didn't know anything about it at all. So here's the problem. If you look at that map, put it back up again just for a second. See, God says to Jesus, take a look. Look at the top, the eastern route, the red one, the eastern one. Boom, 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 boom there. Now, then you can have the coastal one, which is the brown one, around there. Every Jew going up north will go either by the eastern route or the coastal route. Now, what's God saying to Jesus? You got to go through Samaria. The only one to do that is the one that's kind of purplish. That's the only way he can go. The Jews would not go there. We're not interested in them. They hate us. We hate them. That's stupid. Why in the world would we do it? But God said to Jesus, here's where you're going. It's not an option for you. I'm telling you, go there. So I put it like this. But Jesus heard his father, I want you to only take this route. God knew there was, tell me how many? One hopeless woman that Jesus could help. Now, Jesus doesn't know it, but God said, no, I'm telling you, let's go forward. Go forward into that. That's the only route you can take. You can't take any other route. That's it. It's done with. Now, as you see this, what will Jesus do? Well, he's obedient to the Father. Remember, we just read it. Whatever the Father does, he does it. So he's going there. He doesn't know why, really. But look at verse 5 and 6. So he came to a town in Samaria. the town was called Sychar, for all of you watching in Vieira and Sebastian, and you guys up there in the balcony. And what did he do? Near the plot of a ground that Jacob and Joseph given to his son, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus was tired as from the journey, and he went and sat down at the well. Now, it took Jesus 2 days to walk from Jerusalem to Sychar. 2 days of walking. And we see something interesting. Remember, Jesus was fully God and fully man. He had a human side to him. And he's tired. He walked there, so we see his humanity. He sits down. Man, I've walked for 2 days. I don't have any energy left. But later, you're going to see the spiritual part of him, the deity, fully God, and it's going to make amazing things because fully God is all-knowing and all-powerful. Now, look at verse 7. As he arrives, then a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, put yourself in this situation. He said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had went into town to get some food. Jesus was just tired. So it was about noon, 12 noon, a very hot part of the day. Now, most people, and I'll just use this, I'll use this kind of as a pot and we'll go through it. She's got this, you're going to get the bucket from the well and put it in here and take it back home. Well, most people, when they came to the well, would come in the morning because it's super hot after that. Or in the evening, they would come and get their water for the next day. Now here, this is a lonely, hopeless woman. The town, she's been shamed in the town. People can't stand her. She has an immoral lifestyle. She was ostracized by the town people. And so she always picked noon, because when she got there, there'd be nobody else around her. She felt terrible already. People hate my guts. I can't stand it. I got to get water. I'm thirsty. So she'd always pick noon. Now, she came there, and there was nobody there except Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. Is this a coincidence that there's only one woman at the well at Jesus, at Samaria, and Jesus arrives exactly when she arrives? It's just a nice coincidence, isn't it? That is not a coincidence. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. She went there. Jesus knew it would be that time. God told him, start now. Walk. Ask for water. So it's not an accident. It's not something to happen. God is directing our lives. That's what happens. Why did I go to that restaurant? And here's this lady I've never seen before. And she's the one that said one of them, thousands of people said yes. That's not a coincidence. I encouraged her. God knows our steps. He loves to use us. Now, when this happened, God had arranged Jesus because there's one, how many? One immoral woman. She's searching for hope and meaning. She's a cast off where she lives. Now, Jesus knew that God was not wasting his time. He already can sense this going through Samaria. Why? Because one person matters to God. And you'll hear more of this next week. One person matters to God. So who makes the first move? Jesus does. He asks her for a drink. Now, Jesus is not only tired, but he's hot and thirsty. Now, by asking this woman to give him a drink of water, Jesus is getting ready, she doesn't know it, to build a bridge to take the conversation from physical water to spiritual living water. Look at verse 9 in your Bibles. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And there's one other thing. Jews never talk alone to a woman on the street. So she said, well, who in the world are you? And you're here. There's nobody else here. You're not even supposed to be here with a woman and me. Like this, alone with a man? What's the deal? And I'm basic Samaritans. You don't care for us and we don't care for you. Why are you here? Well, notice what happens. Jesus is using the well and the water to show her what she's searching for is not getting physical water. It's spiritual living water in her life. Notice what John 4:10 says. And Jesus answered her. She asked, here's his answer. If you knew, and if you like to write in your Bible, circle this, the gift of God. And who it is that asks you for a drink, if you knew I was the Messiah, you don't. You would have asked him and he would have given you, circle it again, living spiritual water. You can't earn it. It's a gift from God. It comes through me, Jesus. But she doesn't understand this at all. Now, notice it doesn't say Jesus said, I am the living water. No, but that he would give God's gift to her. And whom, when she received it, she would never thirst again, which made no sense to her at all. Now, what is this living water we're talking about? Well, take a look on the overhead. All of you guys in the campuses at home, and here it is. What is living water? Living water is a, in a physical sense, is running water. When she heard living water, she thinks there's got to be a little bubble-up spring somewhere. Not this well. That's kind of old water that's down there. And she's thinking living water is physical, and it's a bubbling-up place. Well, that's not what he's talking about, but it is living, and you'll see what that looks like. In a physical sense, it's running water, but in a spiritual sense, living water is from the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you get the Holy Spirit? Anybody know? You have to get saved. When you repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you, the Holy Spirit immediately, third person of the Trinity, comes to live in you. And so that's the living water. Now, when you see this, in John chapter 7, he does the same thing. Jesus refers to living water as the Holy Spirit who lives in every Christ follower. So at salvation, we already saw God gives us a gift. It's the person of the Holy Spirit, and he indwells in our hearts and lives forever. You will always have the Holy Spirit unless you become an unbeliever and walk away from God and say, I don't want any more to do, then there's a problem you're going to have to work with. Now, look at John 4:11. She says, okay, you're giving me living water. Look what she asks. But sir, you don't have a rope. You don't even have a bucket. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? See, she's still confused. She's thinking physical water. Now, let me read you John 4:12. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed themselves? Here's Jesus' answer. See, she's thinking water, physical, 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 physical. That's not her problem. Her problem is spiritual, and she doesn't understand it at all. Remember, you are a spiritual person. Every person is body, soul, mind, will, and heart thing. And the last one is spirit. The real person of you is spirit. Look what John 14:4 says. And Jesus replied, you think this water is not as good as the water you have? Watch this. Anyone who drinks this water from the Holy Spirit, this water will soon become thirsty again. He says, you'll be back tomorrow morning because you're going to be thirsty again because this water doesn't last. You have to come back, and you will come back. But then he goes, look, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. Now, here's the key. Look at the last three words. Giving them what? Come on, giving them what? Eternal life. Anybody want eternal life? That's how we get to heaven. It's a gift. You can't earn it, but you get it when you become a Christian. So he says, you'll be back tomorrow morning, guaranteed for the physical water. But what I'm going to give you, if you'll repent and believe in me, you will always have living water. You'll have the Holy Spirit in you to direct you, to teach you, to encourage you, to meet your needs wherever they are. And you will get the guarantee of going to heaven forever. Wow. That's a little better than water from a down in a well, wouldn't you agree? So that's what Jesus is trying to get, but he hasn't reached her yet. Now, basically, he knew that the... Here's, let me just say this. The Satan always has an alternative for living water. He has all kinds of things out there that want to tempt us. That'll quench your thirst. Oh, that'll quench your thirst. Just watch it. Money, people, woman, sexuality, drugs, alcohol. I'll give you this. That'll quench your thirst. Let me tell you, any of that crud from Satan will never, ever quench your thirst for God. Never. But he's a deceiver. And you're going to see what she's tried. And it never works. Now watch this. The very root of our being is a hunger and thirst for God. That's the way he made us. So that we know something's missing if I don't have purpose and meaning and hope in my life. John writes it like this. John 6:35. And Jesus replied, I'm the bread of life. He's talking spiritually. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Because the Word and the Holy Spirit satisfies what we were made for. Only a personal relationship with Jesus can truly satisfy our spiritual thirst or our spiritual hunger. There's no other option. There's no other options. Now, look at verse 15. And the woman said to him, no kidding, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water at 12 noon. It's too hot. Well, what is she thinking of? Physical water. She doesn't get it yet. Her eyes are not open. She doesn't understand Jesus is talking about spiritual things. But Jesus knew he was leading her across this bridge that she will get it. The Holy Spirit will begin to convict her and tell her, no, you're in the wrong venue. It's spiritual that you need. Now, that Jesus knew, I got to go there. I got to move there because this will solve every one of her problems. Now, this is very true today. Let me just say it again, just like I did. Satan has blinded the unbeliever to spiritual things. And basically, we look at all the natural kind of things, the things that people build and money and all that. He tempts people with money, power, physical things, the world, and anything like that. That'll solve you. Get the new car. Get four jobs. Have a home here. Have another thing over here. Have three women on that side for you to have relationships with. Take the drugs. You need it. The alcohol's good. Don't worry about that. It's fine. You'll never get addicted to drugs. And what happens? There's no satisfaction at all. It's empty, 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 empty. And that's what happens because Satan's a liar. Now, think about this. Jesus wasn't frustrated with her because he knew, she only knew the first five books of the Bible, and she didn't understand at all, really, what he was talking about. So he was led by the Holy Spirit to ask her a very interesting question. See, he's getting this from God. Look at John 4, 16 through 18. Look at your Bibles. Remember, when you come, you need to have your Bible. You need to see that I'm teaching the Word. That I'm not teaching something that is just an idea for me or something about the church. No, this is the Word of God. Now, he told her, Jesus, go call your husband and come back. And she said, I have no husband. She replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. And then Jesus says this, The fact is, you've had five husbands. And you're now living with a man. You're not married to him. You're living to a man, with a man. Of course, he's not your husband. You're living in sin. And verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see you're a prophet. She's thinking, I never met this guy, ever. He's standing before me. Did he go on Google and see how many times I was married? How would he know that? And how would he know I'm living with a man, but we're not married? How in the world will he know that? Remember we talked about Jesus' humanity? This is the spiritual part of Jesus. He knows everything. And he could look at her, and he says, the first line, when you said you don't have a husband, you're exactly right. But you've had five. You didn't bring that up, did you? I know it. But the man you're living with now is not your husband. You did say the truth. So when you see that, she had asked for water, then Jesus told her to go and call her husband. Why? Because he knew she needed to admit, I'm a sinner. I'm living with somebody wrong. I don't know what happened to those five marriages. We don't know. Was it five divorces? It was whatever. But you have to understand as you go through, think about this. Here's some things that's hard for us to understand. She's had five marriages. Let's just go through it quickly. Okay, this is years ago. She gets married to the first husband. She's lonely. She's hopeless. She doesn't have any success in life. So she gets married to one man. And she's saying, find me. Now, marriage is one of the greatest gifts God ever gives. It's a great gift. And it's not a twosome, it's a threesome, because God's always ahead of it. We submit to him. So she's thinking, okay, I got one man. I don't need to search for anything more. Hopefully he will get the water for me. Then the marriage dissolves. So now we go to what? Two. And then we go to what? Three. Then we go to what? Four. Then we go to what? Five. Everyone, a dead end. So what does she do? I'm done with the marriage stuff. I'm just going to live with the guy. Is that working? None of it's working. Why? Because God isn't in it. She's just living, and Satan's saying to her, oh, the next one will give you satisfaction in your life. Nobody will make fun of you then. It'll be fine. So as she's going through all this, she's believing lies from Satan. Just keep going. Let's see what happens. No, you don't need marriage anymore. Just live with the guy. Well, the Bible always tells us, can two go forward unless they agree? She's not even married anybody that knows anything really probably about God. So what happens? Here's what she's thinking. As she changed it after Jesus brought this up for a reason. She's trying to hide the failures in her marriages. And she knows she's living in sin right now because she is not married to this man. So notice, sometimes as Christians, we think we can pull the wool over God's eyes. Oh, he'll never know what I said. My wife doesn't know. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm fine. I'm smart enough. Let me read this verse to you. Take a look. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked. Or if you're from the South, naked. And exposed before whose eyes? His eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Don't kid ourselves. Nothing is hidden from our all-knowing God. Nothing. So why do we have the word repent? Because that's where we start. Repentance is always the first step of salvation. He's trying to get her to realize she is living in sin and has been, and she needs to repent. She needs to admit she's doing wrong. She thinks God doesn't know. He knows everything, and of course now, Jesus also knows everything. Now, here's something very important when we're talking to unsaved people. By the way, every single person I'm talking to, we were born in sin, all of us. And we sin by nature, and we sin by action. So don't try to hide things. You can't hide things. It makes you miserable, and God will never forgive you until you ask. So Jesus addressed her sins. He didn't do that, basically, to condemn her. He wanted to have her eyes open. Look what Jesus promised. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, you're a woman. You've been married 5 times. What's wrong with you? I don't even know why I'm here talking to you. No, that's not how we talk to people that need God. He said, the son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why God sent Jesus only on the route. He knew this woman didn't know what sin really was. Now, as you see that, Jesus knew he had the solution. He wasn't going to focus just on her now, because he knows where she's at. She doesn't, spiritually. But he knows what she can become. And she can have forgiveness and hope. Now, look at verse 20. She's going to kind of try to move it along. Okay, he's got me dead. I'm done. Now what? Let me talk about something religious that we can understand. Look at verse 20. Our fathers, she said, worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we worship is in Jerusalem. Both of those religions, the Samaritans and the Jewish people, had their own basically worship, their temples where they worship. And they were very different. Their worship was different. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain that's right here in Samaria nor the church in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So she's trying to get out of the thing with her husband and admitting their sin. But Jesus is saying to her, no, you're in sin because you won't understand it. You won't agree that you're wrong. So she wants to talk about this religion and not face her sin. That's normal for all of us. We don't like to admit, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, one of the great things in marriage that will keep your marriage a long time are these two words, forgive me. If you don't practice it, you're going to be in trouble. We're all prideful. So he's trying to get her to say, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. I need help. Now, what does Jesus respond? Look at verse 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has come now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. When we talk about truth, it's the truth of the Bible. Jesus was saying, once you become a Christ follower, you can worship God at any time, in any place, and you can kneel, you can walk, you can even do anything. You can go to the beach, and you can pray, because that's what God does. We can worship him because we have the faith in the presence of God. Now, notice, he says to her, God is spirit. And the real you and I are spirit, soul and body, as I told you, that enables us to communicate with God. Remember, one of the things in the Old Testament, and it's actually in the New Testament from Jesus, he says, you Christians, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far away. That's not worship. It's just religion. It's a routine. And that's why I challenge all of us myself. I get up very often in the morning and put on worship that I like because it changes my attitude. I'm worshiping God. One day, he's coming back. And I love the song. Even the song we talked about this morning, Holy Water. Holy Water. See, that's what he wants to actually give her, but she's thinking about crazy well water. And he's trying to get through to her, and he is. So he says, don't worry about where you're worshiping. Worship from your heart. It has to be a spiritual event, Not just from your mouth. It has to be there. Now, look at verse 25. This is powerful. And the woman said, I know the Messiah. That Messiah, called Christ, is coming. So that was good. She doesn't realize something. And I don't know whether Jesus had smelling salts or not, but watch what comes. When he comes, she says, he will explain everything to us. Remember, Jesus said, you don't really are not knowledgeable in the Bible. Yeah, because you only read the first four or five books. That's crazy. And then he says this. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. She says, I know the Messiah is coming. I just don't know when. And he says, well, the one you're speaking to is the Messiah. That's where the smelling salts need to come. You're the Messiah? Now, notice the words, I am. In the Old Testament, God used I am. In the New Testament, even more, Jesus used I am the door. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am, not I was. And here he stands right in front of her. Look at this. And Jesus said, I am is speaking to you. Or in other words, Yeshua is the one who is speaking to you. Jesus was announcing this startling truth to the one whom he was speaking to. She had been looking for, and Jesus was in her presence. But Jesus brought the conversation right back to her problem. She was thirsty for a reason that she didn't know how to quench it. So Jesus was saying, there's only one way to satisfy your spiritual thirst. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. Nobody comes to me or heaven except through me. I'm sure he used that verse with her, and she would understand that. He was saying there's only one way to satisfy your spiritual thirst. And I'm talking to all of you that are watching from all over the country, different nations, you're watching me. There's only one way to quench your thirst, your spiritual thirst, is to come to Jesus Christ. He is the one that saves you, changes you, forgives you, and then God's gift of the Holy Spirit comes in. It's living water in you. Now, he was saying to her, that's it. Now, here's one thing. The world's water from the well, possessions, power, position, and pleasure, I already said it, but I want you to see it again, will never satisfy. When you and I come to the Lord, this woman had no feelings. She felt as a castaway. When you come to the Lord, we have God's acceptance. We have his identity. When you come to the Lord, you're either a son or a daughter of God. Amen. That's fantastic. Amen. We have security. He who began a good work in you, he will finish it to the end. You're not alone. How can I be alone? How can I be hopeless? And last, I have peace and hope. All of that comes in a relationship that's spiritual. It's not dead religion, rules and regulation. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. Just then the disciples came, and they see him talking to a woman who's a Samaritan. I won't go into all that today, but I'll go to it next week. And what are you doing talking to a woman? What's wrong with you, Jesus? Don't you get raised right here? What's happening? So they're talking all this kind of stuff. But look at verse 28 and 29. This is fantastic. It's on the overhead for you. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Do you now see why Jesus was directed to Samaria? Was that a mistake? No, that's the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit lovingly convicted her, even though she didn't understand it. She repented, she put her faith in Jesus, in the Messiah, and she was now enjoying the living water for the first time in her whole life. Now, what does it mean she left her water jar? She brought it every day, fill it up with the water. So she said, I don't need that. Now, she'll need water. Right now, I have living water flowing through me. I'm forgiven. I'm loved by God. I'm going to take this to the town because these people don't know how free you can be. I'm going to take it to the town. And next week, don't miss it. We will see what happened with the impact of one person coming to Christ. One. That's how God uses it. It spreads all over the value, the VIO, the value of one person and the impact of one person. Now think that morning. She arrives at noon on that day. And what is she thinking? Man, I'm so tired of this stupid water. I got to go every morning. It's here, whatever. Did you think she ever thought that it in one, maybe 4 or 5 hours, everything changed in her life in an instant? She never dreamed it, but that's our God. When we come to God, everything changes to new because of his grace and his love. For those of you that aren't Christians yet, or maybe you walked away from God, I want to tell you, God loves you. See, she was setting down this because this is a picture of her physical life. This is a picture of her 5 husbands and the man she's living with. I'm done with that. It was a dead end, every single thing. Drugs, alcohol, money, whatever you want to say in our lives. I'm done with it. I'm now full of God, and he's changed my life forever. Do you get it? Do you get it? Now, that's called a changed life. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Now, I want to give you one more thing, and I want you to think about it. What if Jesus, as he started out, he knew where to go, he knew the route, and he said to himself, the disciples were with him, you know, I just don't feel like I need to go to Samaria. I'm not going to Samaria. Would that change anything in our story? Hello? Are you with me? Yeah. So why did God tell him to go? Because he already knew the outcome. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you watching, you're here watching because God wants to change your life. I can't change your life. I don't have living water to give you. God gives that to you through the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I kind of like her. I walked away. I've backslidden. Come on home. Because he's waiting. He is the answer for every single one of us. And Jesus knew that he needed to obey God. Let me give you the title of our series again. God says, let us go forward together. He didn't go sideways. He went forward right to Samaria. And this whole town you'll see next week is changed for Jesus Christ. Keep going forward, guys, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Father, I know there's people watching at home, people in the sanctuary, people that will watch this later, go and think about it, that God, we saw today that you love people. You don't want anybody to perish. And some of you just need to take a step and say to God, I won't cover my sin. I have to admit that I'm not living the way I should. And what will God do? If you repent and say, I'm sorry, and accept Jesus Christ, who is the only way to salvation and the only way to heaven, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And as I already said, if you've walked away from God and you need to make a recommitment, just pray the same prayer with me right now. So just bow our heads and you pray this prayer with me right now. Dear God, I understand a life change. I need it. God, I admit I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I learned today that Jesus is a solution to every one of my spiritual problems. I will never have to be alone. I can have hope. So today I repent. I'm sorry for my sins. And God, you promise to forgive me and forget my sins. I want a brand new start. So today I'm going to say yes to you to become a follower of Christ. And for those of you that have walked away and you've backslidden, you've been drifting, you're far away from your first love, just say this to God. I was concerned you wouldn't take me back. But no, God didn't come to condemn you. He came to change you and save you. So come back home. Just say the same thing to God yourself. God, forgive me. I'm coming back home. The world trip has been a dead end, and I'm making a recommitment today to follow you. I need that living water that brings me purpose and meaning and hope. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your love for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.